in heaven want to, don't they? But most of your cults don't believe in hell at all. That it's hell to them is just going out of an existence. Buddha, his idea of nirvana or heaven, Valhalla, was to go out of existence and just not be reincarnated into another life. That was Buddha. But the Bible talks about heaven quite a bit, but it talks about hell a lot. Hell is a real place, but hell did not exist in its final state today. Did you know that? Hell in its final state does not exist today. Hell in its final state does not exist today yet. Now let's go back and talk about the doctrine of hell, or Hades, or Sheol. In the Old Testament, it was called Sheol. Sheol, we have a man, a king, the first king of Israel was called Saul, wasn't he? His name, the root of his name, meant at one asked for. And Israel asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, one asked for. Now, the Bible, the term Sheol is a, in Greek, it's Hades. And that is the hell that exists today. Okay? Sheol and Hades exists today, and it has existed ever since angels rebelled and spirits, because some of the worst of them were put in Sheol. And Sheol, now let's show you something. Look at this for a moment. This is the doctrine of hell, Hades, or Sheol. That's real. But hell in its final state does not exist yet. Things have changed. In eternity past, God put some angelic beings, because they were so violent, he put them into hell or Hades. Now, all of this is Hades, this whole area. Now, in Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19 to the end of the chapter, it gives us our only absolute primary explanation and visual interpretation to Hades. But it tells us about Hades, and it talks about paradise both. And they could look from one side, from Hades to paradise. They could both look there. Now, this is the earth. And it says down under the earth, not in the earth, but down under the earth, is Hades. As far as I can tell from what scriptures, Hades is in the third heaven down below the earth. Down below it. Down under, below the earth. It's out there in Hades. And Walt Disney did a music, not a music, but a movie about the black hole, remember? Now, the way science describes black holes is just about what Hades would be like. And there are black holes out there. And black holes absorb all light, and once it sucks a star in there, it can never escape ever again. There are black holes. Now, people that believe in flat earths and all this, and they're in a very miniature way of thinking, that's what I could say, a very unreasonable way of thinking. It's a religion, and the religion denies all reality, okay? They don't believe that the earth is round, that it is the center of the universe, and this is what Catholicism, and this is what Muhammad taught. That earth does not exist. The earth is not flat. The earth is round, like a sphere. It is round. It's circuit of the earth, okay, around the earth. And the sun is the center of our solar system. But the earth is so far away, you know, from the sun, so life, it supports life. There's a lot of solar systems out there. A lot of galaxies, in the whole galaxy. Well, anyway, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says, became formless and void. There were some bad actors there, some bad spirits and bad angels. And then he put them, it says, in Tartarus, or the bottomless pit, out in the bottomless pit. And in that bottomless pit is Hades. And then paradise was also a place for all of those, a holding place for all of those that believed God but had not been redeemed yet. There was a promise. Genesis 3:15 says God would become flesh, the seed of the woman. Would become flesh and die on the cross of Calvary. He would deal a crippling blow, etc., but that he would overcome Satan in the end. Well, here's the earth. And down below the earth, out there someplace, was Hades, and somewhere around there was also paradise. Either a part of it or separate from it. But it says there's a great gulf between Hades and paradise. Now, nobody could go to heaven in all reality until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, because that's redemption. So no man could be thoroughly redeemed until Jesus Christ died on the cross. So when everybody died, from Adam all the way this way, the good people that believed in God went to paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And the God rejectors died, and they went to Hades. And in Hades was a place of punishment. It wasn't eternal. It's not eternal. Hades is not eternal. Hell is eternal. Hell does not exist yet. But it will exist. Because everybody in Hades, in the end, will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire, which is eternal hellfire. Now, I taught this message from the book that I had on the doctrines of the Bible at Valley Baptist Church. I don't know, maybe almost 30 years ago now, 20-some-odd years ago, anyway. And they asked me to teach about hell in the Sunday school class, and I would teach four or five Sunday school classes every Sunday. I'd go from one to the other, until I had a Sunday school class, until I was a guest speaker and others. Well, anyway, they wanted me to go into this class. I think it was Don Clister-Lear that wanted me to teach his class. And so people that followed me around all over, they went there, and then the people that were in the class were there also. Well, in that class was a lot of students, and I saw when I started teaching about hell, some of them were crying. Tears were coming down their eyes. All I'm doing is teaching what the Bible tells about hell, okay? One girl especially, Karen Watson, was there. Karen Watson became a missionary. She was led a very wild life. She was a sheriff's officer. Her husband died. And she became a missionary. But before she became a missionary, she was a young Christian. She was just got saved and everything. And she couldn't stand the idea of her family or her husband that had died to be in hell. Well, I taught this message on hell, and she went to one of the pastors. She says, "Tell that man not to preach about hell." I'm tore up over this, him preaching about hell. She's bawling going on. I don't want to hear it. But then, it gave her a great unction to go and preach the gospel to people. And she became a missionary. She was killed on the mission field. Her death was nationwide. But this girl didn't want to hear about hell. Because it's a terrible, terrible subject. But it's one of the most relevant subjects in the Bible, because everybody goes to hell. What do you have to do to go to hell?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just go remind how you were born, just stay that way. And that's where you'll go. God gives you tuition that inside of you that He's here, He created, He showed the whole universe that you see in the skies, the stars. That's all I'll tell you, there was a creator. That's what God says. Then God sent prophets, and now He sends His final revelation in His book. Hell is a real place. It's a place we don't want to go. But hellfire is not in existence yet. Now let's go and look at the only place in the Bible. It talks about hell here and there and different places, but this describes hell, and it's really what Hades was like. And it really was a place. Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross of Calvary, He was dying, wasn't He? And there was two people. There was two, these were murderers. They were hireling men. They were terrible people. One was on his right and one was on his left. And the one over there says, "If you're really the Christ, come down off of that cross and take us with you." And then the other one said over there, "Shut up. We deserve to die. He does not." Then he looked over to Jesus and he said, "Lord." He accepted Him as the Lord. He said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Right there. "This day you will be me in paradise." You're going to be there today. You're going to go there in paradise today. He believed. Okay? Now let's go to the Bible. We don't have a heaven yet. We have heaven where God is, but we don't. Nobody has attained heaven yet, so they're in paradise. And so now we go look in Luke, the 16th chapter, starting with verse number 19. It said, "There was a certain rich man." Now, in the original language, it has the word Dives there, or Nineveh, as his name. There was a certain rich man. This is a real story. This is not a parable. A lot of people say this is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. No, it is a story. It is a real historical account of their lives. "Now there was a certain rich man, we call him Dives, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen." And purple is this rich people. This guy was a ruler of some sort. Purple means that he was a king or a prince or something. "And he lived gaily. He was in fine linen and gaily living in splendor and every day." And just because a person is rich, it doesn't mean they're going to go to hell, by the way. But this one was. He's rich, and he's a lost man. He didn't believe in God. "And a certain poor man, his name was Lazarus." Now, this is a real guy. You know what Lazarus means? Now, Lazarus comes from the name Eliezer. You know, that was Abraham's servant, Eliezer. And the Eliezer means God helps. God is your helper. You know what Lazarus means? It means helpless. Helpless. Lazarus means helpless. "Now, Lazarus, helpless, was laid at his gate, covered with sores. He had staph infection all over him." All over him. He was bad shape. He's dying. And they had that. You know, the plagues of Egypt. What was the plagues of Egypt for the sores? When you were in Egypt, you got it, didn't you?
Yes.
You got it. You got everything that was in Egypt, I think. He's growing up in Egypt. Her father was an airplane pilot, and they lived in Egypt. And she saw the plagues of the locusts, and she saw the plagues of the sores and all of this. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate. Now, a rich man's palace, it was kind of like this. It was kind of like the Spanish-style estates, except that comes from the Arabic style and the Middle East style. They had a gate here. And there's a house in here, and there's gardens and trees and everything in here, and there's a gate where everybody comes in and goes out right there. There's one gate. And now he lays here at the rich man's gate to his estate, longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. The crumbs were the fling. Larry, you ever come eat food and there's something there you don't want to eat, you just kind of throw it to the side? Gristle or something you can't chew up, or bone from that steak or whatever. This is what, and it was a piece of fruit that had a spoiled place. They'd cut it out and they'd throw it over there to the side. They actually threw it on the floor. They weren't setting up tables like we do with chairs. They were laying up to a table and they were throwing this stuff over their shoulder. On the ground, on the floor out there. And people, servants would come by picking all this stuff up in a basket, and they'd take it out and throw it over the fence to the dogs, the wild dogs. There's a lot of wild dogs in those days. So they'd throw it over the fence to the wild dogs and the squirrels and whatever was out there, the bear and the lions and whatever. And then there's this guy, this poor guy now. He wants to be fed with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. You know, the dogs have a certain antibiotic element in their saliva. And they were licking his sores. And they're around there. There are all these wild dogs waiting for the crumbs too. Now it came about when the poor man died and he was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. All right. When you die. When you are conceived into this world in your mother's womb, you have a name. God knows you. You are an eternal being. When you're birthed into this world, you have two angels telling you that, hey, this guy is really born. When you're born again, you have two angels witnessing that you have been asked the Lord to save your soul and forgive you your sins. When you die, you have two angels carrying you away if you're God's. Now, lost people die too. Their names, whether they're, you know, whatever, whoever they are, like this man recorded here, they're real people forever. Except two angels that pick them up are not their guardian angels. Not their guardian angel. I remember a movie called Ghost one time. And this guy died, and he was a ghost and all of this, which aren't really ghosts. But anyway, this bad guy died, and here come the demons after him, leading him off. That's what really happens. That's what really happens. Demons come for you. Demons come for you. Demons do exist. I've been in close encounters with them a time or two. I don't like it. And he said, I came about when the poor man died that he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, before the cross of Calvary, back here in eternity past, we have Hades. Some bad angels are in there and demon spirits. And then every person that doesn't believe in God, that rejects God all the way from Cain or Adam or whatever, this way, are put in Hades. But the rich people, not the rich people, but the saved people, are put in Hades or Abraham's bosom. Hades means what? That's a Greek word. The place not seen. Sheol means the place asked about. They always ask God, where it happens to you? Where do you go? Sheol. What happened? The place asked about is Sheol. And Sheol is this whole place. Now before Jesus Christ dies on the cross of Calvary, everybody goes to Sheol. But one side is paradise, and the other side is the place of torment, where these bad angels are and all these bad people, bad actors, from the time of Adam on. And now it came about when the poor man died, he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now we have the scary part coming. And the rich man also died and was buried. His body was buried. Your body is buried. I'm sure they probably took Lazarus' body and threw it in the dump. Just threw it in the dump. But Abraham now, Abraham's bosom, now they threw his body in the dump, but his soul and spirit goes to paradise, Abraham's bosom. And now the rich man was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes. Now, his body is in a grave, isn't it? Probably in a rich man's grave. But now he has eyes, he has nose, he has mouth, he has ears, he has feeling, he has all the senses. But his soul, the clothing of his soul is in Hades. And he has all of his senses and his memory and everything. In his mind. He's all there. He's there. In the Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw Abraham far away. So he can look over from Hades into paradise. That's one of the bad things about hell, or Hades. You can look over there and you can see hell. Or not hell, but paradise. And they see the people in comfort, and they're in torment. And he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Now he recognized Abraham and he recognizes Lazarus. This is the guy that's out there at the gate now at my big palace. And he's sitting out here, but he's over there and I'm over here. How in the world do I get over here? How do you get over there? Well, he had to reject God. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just go on being you. That's all you have to do. Just going on being yourself. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, so he could see. He's in torment. How is he in torment? Sounds, torments in the body, heat, hunger, thirst. And Abraham's far away, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham. Now he calls Abraham father because he's probably a Jew. He's a dead Jew in Hades. Have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in this agony and flame. It's hot there. It's like Death Valley every day, like Bakersfield all summer, all the time. You know how that is. Mm-hmm. You were out there on both Bakersfield farms out there.
Oh, yeah.
I was picking cotton out there and everything in 120 degrees when there was no shade and no bathrooms and no water except what you drug in a tow sack.
Yeah, you pick cotton different than I did.
Yeah. You worked in the machine. I did it by hand.
Yeah.
I learned to walk in a cotton field. My grandma was dragging me on her sack until I could get up and start using my little legs. And I wanted to do what everybody else was doing. I wanted to pick that cotton. My fingers were bleeding. And she taped up my little fingers. She taped up her fingers with that white tape, you know. They used back then. I am in agony in this flame. And Abraham said, Child, remember during your life you had your good things, and likewise Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. It didn't have anything to do with Lazarus' poorness or his richness. It was his attitude toward God that really got him there. Now, what does he say? Does this guy remember? He can see, he can smell, he can hear, he can talk. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed. A great distance there. It's a no-go zone. In order that those who wish to come over from you here to you may not be able to, and that none may cross over from there to us. So we have paradise and we have Hades. Hades is a place of torment. But this isn't eternal hell. This isn't the final hell. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. He remembers his father's house. He's got brothers. He remembers. I called this message one time. I preached a message here. A love letter from hell. A love letter from hell. Because this man still loves his brothers, even though he's in hell. But he doesn't want them to walk the pathway that he did and go to hell. He wants them not to be there with him. I've heard people say, I don't want to go to heaven because I don't know anybody there. I'd be real happy with all those friends of mine in hell. No, you won't. You won't. Not going to be happy in hell. Nobody's happy in hell. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Let Lazarus go back. They'll believe in Lazarus. Now, let him go back and tell my brothers. Let him go tell my family not to come here, to do something different with their lives. Then he said, I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers. He remembers all of them. He remembers the names, everything. He remembers these. He doesn't want them to come here. He doesn't want them to be with him. He wants them to go to paradise. That he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said to him, they have Moses, they have the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the Bible. Remember when God reveals himself to mankind through his creation and then from his intuition and his heart and then what else? From the prophets, and the Bible. This should tell us, don't go there. This should say, don't come here. This is not the place to come. Lazarus was over there in paradise, but Dives or Nineveh, he's over there and he said, don't come here. He's trying to tell people from all that time alone, don't come here. I don't want you as my neighbor. Don't come here. You don't want to be here. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back from them from the dead, they will repent and they will believe. See, they had to repent, didn't they? They had to repent. That's the difference between heaven and hell is repentance. The difference between heaven and hell is repentance. That's the difference. But he said to them, if you do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Who was the most important person to rise from the dead?
Jesus
Christ. Was there people that rose from the dead during Jesus' ministry? Did he raise the dead?
Sure.
Yes. He rose the dead. People died. Did they believe? No, they wanted to kill them. What happened when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? You know, there was a guy, a rich man named Lazarus. And he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus had been friends with them all his life. And here the rich boy dies. And they put him in a rich boy's tomb. And he goes out there and they're crying. They said, if you'd been here, Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He said he died so that God would get the glory. And he said to him, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come forth. He said, get that stone out of the way. Get those grave clothes off of him. And he came forth. And what did those people, what did the Jews do? They plotted to kill Lazarus. They didn't believe. They plotted to kill him again. And they plotted to kill him. There was a contract on Lazarus and there was a contract on Jesus by religious people. Religion doesn't save you. Believing in Jesus Christ saves you. So now, over here, hell isn't in existence yet. But during the tribulation period, we know that hell becomes, because the first people that go to hell, eternal hellfire now, are the false prophets and the Antichrist. Okay? They're the first ones that are going to go to eternal hell. Now, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he went down to paradise side of Hades and he told them, that he had died on the cross of Calvary. And when I raise him here, you're going with me. You're going to go up. And he took and took these because now he had died on the cross of Calvary so everybody could go to heaven. So they go up above the earth into the third heaven, and that's where the abode of God is. And so Jesus takes all of these, whether they're resurrected or in spirit and soul form, he takes them to heaven. So when you die today, after the cross of Calvary, you either go to heaven or you go to Sheol, Hades again. But Sheol is not the final Hades. After the resurrection of Jesus, he takes these people to heaven with him. We live in the church age where we are today. At the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture. All the saved in the church is going to go up to be with God in heaven. All hell's going to break out loose on earth. And the reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God, because they're going to be ruling on this earth, on the earth, epites geis, el haaretz, upon the earth for 1,000 years, Ezekiel 36:25-38. But we go down. Revelation 27-9, we find out for this whole 1,000 years that Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There's not going to be any demonic or satanic activity on the earth at all for 1,000 years. And then all of those in Hades and all of the devil and everything are going to be resurrected. Now, hell, Hades, has been created somewhere in here. The eternal lake of fire, Gehenna, is what it's called. And at the great white throne judgment, every man from all the way from Adam and all the angels are going to be judged. Eternal hellfire is a place of dimensions. Some places are more tolerable than other places, the Bible says. When Jesus came to the Jews and they rejected him, he said it would be more tolerable in the great white throne judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you, because they didn't see my miracles. They didn't see my face. They didn't see the face of the Creator. But you have. And you rejected me. So in eternal hellfire, it's going to be levels of torment. And it's eternal. That place you don't want to go anyway. Sheol will be emptied out completely. Everyone will stand before God right here. And Jesus is the judge. Because Jesus was human in life one time. For 33 and a half years he lived in our bodies. In a body like ours. And he died on the cross. He really felt what death was like. And he was raised again. All of these will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire forever. There is no coming back. When you die and go to Sheol today, there is no coming back. You can't come back and say, I'm sorry. You will be sorry when you hit there. There will not be one atheist in Sheol. Did you know that? There will not be one agnostic in Sheol. They will all believe. Because they will believe. They're there. Jesus said, the second coming of the Son of Man is going to be like Noah. In the days of Noah, when God called all the animals and he told Noah to get into the ark and he shut the door. All those on the outside, some of them believed outside. Did you know that? Some of them believed. It says there that Jesus went down and preached to these that didn't believe. But those that outside the ark got to die that were believers. The ark is the type of the rapture. Two people that did not die in the Old Testament was Enoch and Elijah. That's a type of the rapture that we have that will take place here. That's the story of hell and Hades and eternal hellfire and paradise and heaven. When you die today, if you die in Christ, if you've been born again, if you're a believer, you go to heaven. Two angels escort you there in great joy. And if you die without Christ, you're escorted to Hades. And there's no way back. It's one way. One way. One way. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory, that it might glorify you and warn people that there are two places that they're going to spend eternity in, hell or heaven. They need to make a choice now, not later. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So once you get to Hades, there's no...